Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's had a good start to your week on this rainy day. We always enjoy our conversations with Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, hashtag Ask Hal. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ask him questions, and he's going to answer them. He does it all. He's in the booth with Pete Weber on radio, does post-game with me. He does hits on Fox Sports Tennessee with Willie and Chris. He's in the studio, NBC Sports Network. I mean, the only thing left to do is suit up again and play. Hal, how you doing?
You have a contract for me?
No, but I'll tell you what, the story you told in post-game on Saturday night with the shootout was had people rolling in Barrel House. That was fantastic, including me.
You like that one, huh?
I really did.
You like that one, huh?
Skills, are you ready? What? Yeah, huh? Nah, just mess with me. You're not going anywhere.
Just kidding. Don't bother tying your skates back up. You're not shooting.
What do you make? There's obviously been a lot of moves here on the trading deadline, 3 hours out. Let's just start with the news on the Predators front. Rocco Grimaldi inks a 2-year deal, so 2 years, $4 million. He gets rewarded for his play again. What did you make of the deal?
Yeah, I think it's good. Good for Rocco, good for the Preds. Everyone seems to love him in Smashville, and he's effective. He's good on the forecheck. He's not putting up big numbers, but he's contributing offensively, and he's on the best line that the Preds have consistently through this season. So you keep him around, and it shores up that line can keep ticking until something else changes. And I'm still waiting to see what the next move is, though. You try to sign guys, you try to figure out what guys you can extend. Obviously, Rocco is one of them, so you take him out of the trading block, and now you have to look at the other guys. So that's the big challenge for David Poile, is not just signing a guy, but what do you do with the other ones?
And he's very good in the eighth round of shootouts, too. We know that. We learned that on Saturday. So that was
silky.
Yeah, that was nice. Goes backhand. I like that. I want to ask you the player's mentality, what it's like on trading deadline day. Look, everybody's like, you're athletes, you just got to put that stuff behind you. Yeah, but you're human beings, okay? And if you're one of those guys that's being rumored, or it's out there that you could be on the move, what's that like as a player?
It's tough. It's nerve-wracking. It's also nerve-wracking. Don't forget there's families involved.
Yep.
A lot of times I was traded twice, and my wife found out on TV, and I didn't get a chance to talk to her. I didn't know at that time, but she still is shaking. We're sitting here watching it right now, and still thinking of the days when your heart was pounding, finding out if you're going to go somewhere. It's kind of a stressful time. It is a business, but you don't know what's going to go on. Even if you're not on the trading block or you don't think you're going to be traded, you're good friends that are going to be leaving your team, and it's not a fun thing to go through. I don't care if a guy is going to a winning team or if he gets traded to a losing team. It doesn't matter. You get a bond with a guy, and you're hoping that he can stick around and still be your friend or without getting tacked and sent off.
Yeah. There is news out there that the Predators are practicing, and Mikael Granlund is not on the ice practicing. Nick Bonino, by the way, on the ice practicing. No Pekka out there, no Granlund. I'm just asking you your personal opinion. Less than 3 hours away, what do you think? Does David Poile just stand pat? Does he add, subtract? In your opinion, what do you think?
I think David Poile is on the phone, and he's making phone calls and listening to every scenario and talking about it. I don't think he is actively doing anything. I think he's listening. And a lot of the, you look at the haul that Pageau just got, a first, a second, he went from Ottawa to the Islanders. He got a first, a second, and a conditional third. That's a huge haul. So, Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund may not be on the trading block until, okay, here comes the deal. We're not going to say no to it. And I think that's what David Poile is listening to right now is if they're going to get up to that Pageau deal where you're looking at maybe a second rounder and a third rounder, then those guys, I think he has to make moves, but he's sitting there waiting and listening.
So how, on the other hand, do you think that there have been phone calls? I'm sure there have, but is there a possibility they go the other way and add a veteran defenseman? I don't know that there's a lot of defensemen that, at least in my mind, would fit what the Predators' needs are, because you'd have to say this guy clearly is better than what you already have, and I don't know that that guy's out there. Would you agree, or what are you seeing out there?
Well, that goes with the same thing. I think draft picks are so valuable now. You if you can get one for someone, then you try and get it. If you can give up a lower draft pick, it's good. You go and get your guy, but sometimes you get fooled into making moves just because you feel like you have to make a move. So I think they would go get a defenseman, but they're certainly not going to give up the world on a team that's outside the bubble of the playoffs. I think that would be foolish. But if the right deal comes along and someone's saying, hey, we need to get rid of this guy and we need to get something for him, and you give up a third rounder for a good depth guy, then I think that Poile would do it.
Would you say that Mikhail Granlund has been the best all-around forward? Let's take Nick Bonino aside. I think he's been fantastic. But maybe other than him, the last 2 months, would you say that Granlund has been the best all-around forward on the team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been, driving. He's been the engine, And that being said, I think Craig Smith is up there, too, the two guys that I think we're looking at. But Granlund, everyone on that team talks about it and respects the effort that he's putting in. He's creating space and creating room for his teammates. The work he does on the forecheck and then the work that he does in the offensive zone, I think has been awesome, especially the last few months. I think he's been going hard. I just think you're seeing a lot all year, but I think you're seeing a lot more now. I feel like he's creating more now than he ever has. So I know that other teams are looking at him and trying to figure out what it's going to take to get Poile to pull the trigger so that they can get him. But it would be tough to lose him, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're a Preds fan, you don't want to lose that guy. You don't want to lose Smith. You don't want to lose any of the guys that are really available. So we'll see how it goes.
I think that's what we've tried to do today, is just sort of outline the dilemma that you're helping us do that, how that David Poile is sitting there with, because he's got to think long-term and short-term. The team is battling, and I think there's still a sense, and this might be the real key question that they have to try to answer, is do they feel confident enough in this group that they can find their way to their best quarter of the season and then make the playoffs and feel good enough about what they've got that they could make a run? We know in hockey that the 8th seed, the second wild card, can win the whole thing if you're playing well. So how much confidence, how much faith do they have in the direction they're going? They are 8-4-1 in their last 13 games.
Yeah, it's going the right way. It's just what the killer is, and I know Poile is probably battling with it, just like the rest of everyone in the city is. You have a few good games, three games, and you're like, okay, we're turning the corner. We're coming around. And then you have a stinker where the effort just isn't there, and you get blown out and embarrassed. And it's like, well, how does that happen? And that's where I think Poile is struggling, anything can happen in the playoffs, but you also have to be realistic and say, all right, if we limp into the playoffs and barely make it, is it worth trying to get someone on our team, just, losing a draft pick just so that we can make the playoffs? Does this team really have a chance to win? And that's what you have to look at. And I think that's the hard part for Poile. I think on paper, this team, the Preds, should be a heck of a lot better. If their top six performed well all year, and I'm not saying well, if they just performed up to their standard, I think this team is laughing and in a great playoff spot. But that's not the case. That's not where they are. Does Poile believe that it can come around and then you could be that team that you thought you were going to be? I don't know if he believes that, and I don't know if they believe it. So we'll find out in the next few days. But right now, Poile has to make decisions. I think the team has kind of put them in a tough spot. So we'll see.
We're talking to Hal Gill. Of course, you can hear him on the call on the Predators Radio Network. We've talked time and time again about how John Hines has come in here, and he's giving minutes to the guys that have earned it, and he's taking minutes away from the guys that haven't. And I think a player that we're all focused on is Philip Forsberg. He had 2 assists this weekend. We know what he can do offensively, but he's sitting at 18 goals. He has struggled. So if you're in the room, Hal, how do you handle those conversations with a player like Philip? Because he's got the talent. I just think right now he's in his own head a little bit with the frustration setting in that they're just not going in.
Yeah, it's tough. I think if you look at the top six, and you know, I use top six. You know, you look at Duchesne, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, those guys in particular. If you say, have they really wowed us? I just feel like they have so much more to give, and I think they would agree with you with the fact that they can be so much better. Now, they switched all the lines up and changed everything up, and I think the mentality that Hines had was, we're all workers. Every line is going to be a working line. It's not going to be a skilled line. I love that idea, and I think it worked out, but the bottom line is you need to have a line that gets you there. You need to have a line that's going to win you games. So at some point, you know, he tried to get the Jofa line back together and say, all right, you guys know what to do. Go do it. And it kind of sputtered. It was okay in Chicago. I thought they were okay. But, you know, Forsberg has been good. But let's face it, we need great from Forsberg. We need great from Johansson and Duchesne. You need those guys to pick up their game. So, you know, what do you say to a guy in the locker room? You know, you gotta perform, and it's a pressure situation, but we need you. And, you know, everyone's got to play their role. If you make big money, you got to make big plays.
When you were playing and the deadline would pass, and it's not just for you personally, but the rest of the room, you know, okay, we're good. We're going to be here. This team's going to be together the rest of the season. Did that help some of the guys that were struggling, that now they're that added stress of, okay, am I going to get moved? Am I not going to get moved? Now that was gone, did that help at all?
Oh, it's so much better after the trade deadline. You go into the room and you're like, deep breath. And you go and, all right, this is our team. This is what we got. Whether you trade someone or you get someone, you get past it and you move on. It is a huge load off your shoulders. And, you know, the coach comes in, all right, boys, this is our team. What are we going to do? And that's really the fun part. This is, you know, after the trade deadline, all of you, you know, there's a lot that goes into, you know, finding out where you're going to be in the playoffs. And then the trade deadline comes. And then now is the time where it gets to be fun. You're in the playoff race and you just go for it. And you don't worry about all the other stuff. You can just focus on being a good teammate and playing some hockey.
Hal, good stuff as always. We really appreciate you joining us. And thanks for all you do, just to get sappy here on the end.
Well, no, thanks for having me. And I wish I could give you more, but I'm kind of sitting here watching to find out what's going on too. It's kind of an exciting day.
Yeah, I mean, that is the crazy thing about this. I mean, the last 2 years we knew David, what he was going to do, as in he was going to add to this roster. Maybe we didn't know the specifics, but we knew his mindset. This one, we truly don't know. I mean, we're all sitting here going, what is David Poile going to do? Add, subtract, stand pat. And that's what's interesting, right?
And I bet you David Poile is wondering what David Poile is
going to
do.
Hal, I have confirmed with my sources you are not getting moved today. So
that feels good. Thank you.
All right.
It's still not 3 o'clock, though. A fax machine might be on their list.
That's true.
Rest assured, we will see you tomorrow night. Thanks for doing this.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Hal Gill does a tremendous job. In all sincerity, he is fantastic on the radio, in the booth with Pete. He's great to work with pregame, postgame. Do the first intermission hit with him. I know he does the second intermission hit with you guys on Fox Sports Tennessee on the road.
Copycats.
It's really good. It's really good.
The postgame show is always entertaining.
Oh my gosh!
It's must listen.
I don't really like to do this around him because I told you he doesn't like it. He's not a sappy guy. He doesn't. But the people, Barrel House, people stick around to the till they get kicked out of Barrel House, and it's because of Hal. Okay, I'm just the warm body. They're there because Hal entertains everybody, and we have people that will stay there. I mean, lots of people that will stay there to the end or until they're asked to please leave the arena when we're kind of winding down.
Well, I don't. It is part of my routine to hear what you guys say after the game. I think if you haven't heard, I think it is routine for the people leaving the building to want to hear what Hal has to say after the game.
Yep, no doubt about it.
It's huge. I mean, it's because he does it in an entertaining way, but there is true analysis in there.
Yes.
But he makes it fun.
Agreed.
How he does it.
No doubt. True analysis with personality. That's the key. All right, come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. This is what I know coming up at 11:45. So let's do a little house cleaning here.
Yes.
For all the people freaking out that we said Pekka is not on the ice for practice. He's sick. Okay, he's not getting moved.
He also has this thing called a no-move clause.
He's not getting traded.
He was never going to get traded.
Right, we have to explain that to people for some reason.
It's the trading deadline day, and it's 2.5 hours away. And he's not on the ice practicing, and some people are freaking out. Just so you know, remain calm. 35's not going anywhere. Okay, it's not happening. Now, they've also, the Predators, have released information on why Granlund is not on the ice. He is taking a maintenance day. What does that mean? I have no idea.
Well, but what it does say.
Does it mean maintenance on the car? Like, is he getting his oil changed?
No, it's a car.
Yeah, it's like dry cleaning, yeah. Oil change, just a lot of maintenance stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Under the hood.
Changing light bulbs.
It is a commonly used, for those that don't follow hockey on a daily basis, it is a commonly used term for a team to say, we gave him the day off from practice. He's banged up.
Any other day but today makes total sense. Today, people aren't going to view it the same way.
But imagine when practice started, the people covering practice, they see that he's not on the
sure.
ice. So correctly so, they went to the team PR and said, okay, do you have an explanation as to why these two players are not on the ice? And the team did give a statement. Pekka Rinne ill, Mikael Granlund, maintenance day. Now, is it possible that the maintenance day is to buy some time, see what's going on? Yeah, I guess that's possible if you want to be the conspiracy theory guy. It's also very possible that Mikael Granlund, if you watch him every day, he sticks his nose in there. He blocks shots. He exerts a lot of effort. Could he use an extra day's rest to be ready for tomorrow's game? Yeah, I think that's very possible. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I'm saying that if you're going to sit there and just scoff at the idea that it actually is a maintenance day, I would say you might ought to think. It could be either one. Could be both.
We won't know until 2:00.
It's like Nick Ritchie has been traded.
Yep. Just saw that.
The Ducks are punting.
Yeah.
The Ducks are seeing what they can get for just about anybody. Nick Ritchie, physical, borderline dirty guy. You know, he's just fit right in with all of the way that they played for a long time. A guy that he's still pretty young, Nick Ritchie. He's got a little talent.
Yeah. Do they trade Manson too, you think?
Now that's an interesting one there.
Yeah, take on some money.
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets moved. I think, and going back to the Granlund thing, I think if David is fielding any calls, it's the responsible thing to do because it doesn't mean one thing or the other.
But then why would you have Craig Smith on the ice and not Granlund?
If you're fielding calls, I'm saying if you've already had calls come in about Granlund, you haven't worked anything out. There's nothing imminent. But people have expressed interest, then it's the responsible thing to do if somebody comes in the 11th hour, which would be the 1 o'clock hour and says, okay, fine, you haven't budged on that offer. Here's my final offer. Take it or leave it. It's the if that could happen, the responsible thing to do is to make sure that nothing happens at practice to a player that may happen to. Now, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, but I asked you the question.
That's the responsible thing to do is to make sure that nothing happens at practice. Freak things happen.
Sure.
And if conversations have taken place, it's the responsible thing to do.
I agree, but then why wouldn't you do the same thing for Craig Smith?
Because maybe the calls have come in about Granlund.
Right.
You think there have been all calls for Granlund and none for Craig Smith?
I didn't say that. I have no clue.
But right before practice,
you have a clue.
Maybe they've come in on both, and maybe the most attractive one is Granlund. Maybe the one that has you going, you know what?
Possibly.
We're maybe not that far off.
Possibly. Or maybe David Poile has made the decision internally of, no matter what, I am not trading Craig Smith, but I'm going to listen for Mikael Granlund. We don't know.
And it's possible that he just needs a maintenance day, that he's bagged.
It is possible, but
it is.
So Richie to the Bruins in exchange for Danton Heinen. Is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm. Danton Heinen is a fourth liner guy. So the Bruins are obviously in a mood to go for it, right? They're making similar moves. The Bruins, the best thing they've got going for them is they've done a really good job in their farm system of having enough to trade and stay good. But they're loading up for some battles against whoever they have to play in the first round, and then, of course, the Lightning. Right? You got to get out of that division. That is a death match. Right? Just to survive coming through that division is brutal.
I'm going to tell you, I was watching a game yesterday, and I'm going to tell you something that I'm just going to admit went through my head, and I want to get your all's reaction to it on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to talk about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right, let's talk about Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to call. Remember the home maintenance plan? And at this time of year, it's always the same message. Pretty soon, you're going to be using your air conditioning unit in your home a lot. Make sure that it is running properly and efficiently. Maybe you haven't tested it in a while. Maybe by the end of last summer, when it was really hot, you were riding that bad boy a lot. And you were running that thing, and that air conditioning bill was high. Maybe it needs a little bit of work. It's good to get it checked out before the weather gets hot again this year. A great reason to call Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com and make an online appointment. And while you're at it, check out their home maintenance plan. As I tell you every week, it's a great system where they will give you the call and have all those great annual checkups to make sure everything's running properly and you stay ahead of the curve with your home maintenance plan. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Big four-game homestand coming up. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, you will see the Lee Company logo a lot when you go down to Bridgestone Arena. LeeCompany.com.
Back here on Darren Donican, Chase, Vince Ferrara coming up at high noon. This is what I know in about 15 minutes. Great prize attached to it, which means you're going to have to bring it. Tell us what you know. Very, very easy. You know that there's a question on the text line. 615-737-1025.
So Sam from Nashville texts in, love the show, boys. Could y'all look into the salary cap for next season and break down why we don't think Granlund and Smith can stay? According to Cap Friendly, the Preds are estimated to have around $9 million in cap space. My opinion is Smith will take a hometown discount. Then what could you do with the extra cash? I don't believe $9 million in cap space is correct because you have Yossi's contract.
Well, I was going to say, let's just start right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yossi's contract is the old contract this year.
Yeah.
The new one kicks in next year.
Right. So he will
That's already $5 million more?
Yeah, basically take Granlund's contract and add that to Yossi.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's the best way to do it because his cap hit will be 9.059. You have Ellis with 6.25, Ekholm with 3.75, and then you have Fabro and Tenorti that are still on rookie deals.
And Rocco just signed a new deal today.
Yep,
so he just got a bump.
And remember, Austin Watson will get a bump. Not much, but $400,000. So you do have to factor that in. Defenseman, UFAs, Hamuse, Weber, and Irwin. So
that's you would likely replace those guys.
Sure.
If you replace them, you would replace them with guys making similar dollars there.
Yep. So Rocco will get $1 million raise. So you add that. And then, as we mentioned, Granlin is 5.75, Craig Smith 4.25. So the way I see it, you can probably manage one, but you can't manage both.
Yep.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I think pretty safe to say. Now, doesn't mean that there's not going to be something done in the offseason. I mean, we know what David Poyle did last offseason.
Okay, Ryan Porth just said that the texter is correct with the cap space. But you have to also factor in that you're going to...
Well, we just accounted for about $9 million right there.
Yeah, but no, he's saying with all that. That's what Ryan's telling me. With all that that we're accounting for, that... I don't know. I don't see it being that much.
Well,
they moved, by the way, $9 million a year last offseason. So factor in to the texter's point, you don't know really what that number could be. Who knows what happens in the offseason?
Also remember, though, that you want to keep some flexibility. You know, you don't want to go into the season right up against the cap. You want to give yourself some flexibility to be able to adjust at what's thrown at you over the course of the year with injuries and whatnot.
The Blackhawks have been playing that game for years, and look where it's got. I mean, look, they ultimately got the prize three times, but they've paid the price since. True? The last 3 years, I mean, they've been in
the record speech for
salary cap jail.
Yeah. Record, and they're still trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
Now, is there a way mathematically to do it? Yeah, but
so it
would be really tight.
He is right. So under on cap friendly, and this is a great website to use. So as of now, you'd have 17 on the roster. You'd have 30 players under contract, and you would have 9.267 million in cap space. But keep in mind, you're going to have to move that. I mean, you're going to add. You're going to have to replace some guys that leave, or you're going to have to re-sign to different contracts. So hypothetically, you could do it. But like we said, to start this, you could only do one. You probably couldn't. You couldn't do both without moving somebody.
You also have the expansion draft.
That too.
Yep, next year too. Where you're going to lose somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You also have guys like Tolvanen and Pitlick who you like. At some point, you try to have a pathway that you have carved out for them to some degree, some flexibility. So these are all things to consider. The way these two guys are playing, their stock is up, right? Smith and Granlin. They're going to have...
But what would be the raise?
On the mark... That's the question. What do they get? What usually happens when there's not a lot of free agents out there?
Mm-hmm.
The guys get overpaid. Somebody would overpay.
Actually, just usually people get overpaid.
In general. When there's a limited amount of free talent out there on the free agent market, you get paid more than you're probably worth.
How's that Erik Karlsson deal working out in San Jose?
Well, so far, not good.
Yeah. By the way, they're at the beginning of that contract.
And he's a great player.
That's going to be a long contract.
So I don't know that those guys are in that category of getting an eight-year deal. Right, they're probably or even a 7-year deal, but at the same time, they're playing well. Their track record is really good. They're going to be a very attractive free agents if they hit the open market. I wonder how much of the keep the group together. Your money goes further here, which is a card that they've played very often. Right, would that go into play here at some point? According to Adam Vigan, he's checked with the agent stuff. There doesn't seem to be a lot of talking going on with those guys right now. It's kind of a wait and see.
Yeah. Here's another question.
Speaking of long-term deals, remember when Ryan Suter signed a long deal in Minnesota? Remember when Zach Parise signed a long deal with the old CBA in Minnesota? There's a lot of rumors out there swirling that the Islanders and the Wild are working on a deal to send Parise to the Islanders.
But they get both, right? Because, they're buddies. They're a package deal. Got to play together.
I don't believe so. Nope.
Unless the Islanders have a different salary cap structure than everybody else.
Has somebody told him yet?
Nope. That's not in the cards.
I think Bill Guerin would
love
shed that contract. But it's complicated. We looked at
five more years after this year left.
5 more years after this year, which would take Zach Parise through age 40. And he's a guy that, if you look, when he's healthy, he's still a really good player. Right? I was watching him last night. He is a guy that he's a little bit like Granlund. He fights hard for everything. He gets to the net. And, of course, Parise and Granlund play together for a long time. But his body is having trouble holding up year in, year out.
And if he retires, there's that recapture
well,
stuff.
Yeah, there's that whole thing, too. I can see why the Islanders love him. Barry Trotz has had all kinds of respect for Zach Parise over the years. So I would be curious to know how they would put that together. It's a $7.5 million cap hit, even though the actual money you would pay Parise, kind of like the Shea Weber deal, goes down. So cash is not a big deal, but the cap hit is the same.
Parise is practicing, though. I told you that everybody for the Wild practicing today, so I don't know. I don't know what that means, but the rumors are out there swirling. That would be a huge deal, and, of course, that would affect the Predators division for sure. We told you Nick Ritchie is out in Anaheim on his way to Boston for Danton Heinen. As things continue to swirl, Patrick Marleau is out. What else happens in San Jose? Do they do anything else? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see.
Be curious to see if Thornton got
the rest of the way. I'm just telling you guys, I don't see it. I would be surprised if he's dealt.
It would have to.
That's me.
A team would have to need a very particular thing, because Thornton at this stage of his career, to me, the one reason you would trade for him is somebody to run your power play. 5-on-5, he's really not a force anymore, and hasn't been for a little bit. He's done an amazing job to get this far. But I would say when Joe Thornton is 55 years old, he could probably go out there on that half wall and deal on a power play. He's just a great passer. He's a tremendous passer. One of the best of his era.
I was looking at they call it the recapture penalty. Mm-hmm. If Parise is moved, it's just like the Shea Weber deal, and he retires before that contract is up. Boy.
Yeah. It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. And like you said, Willie, it goes all the way into age 40 for him. Mm. It's going to hurt. There's a lot of money attached there. All right, we will come back and wrap up the hour with This Is What I Know. Tell us what you know. It's very simple. It's wide open. Open canvas for you to paint the picture for us. A pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 23rd. That's what's on the line. But you must participate to have a chance to win. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your calls next.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yep, we want to know what you know. 737-1025. Pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 23rd. But we need you to jump in there. We need these lines loaded for Bear. I'll tell you what I know. I know that Alex Ovechkin joined the likes of Brett Hull, Jaromir Jagr, Gordie Howe, some guy named Wayne Gretzky, Phil Esposito. He is now the 8th player in NHL history to get 700 goals in his career. And he did it over the weekend. By the way, that was one of our pick 6 questions. I said yes and top shelf. So what I know is congratulations to Ovechkin. Really no drama. He did it right out of the gates. I mean, boom, it happened. So what a tremendous player. And a lot of people believe that he can challenge Gretzky. I'm not one. I mean, he's still got almost 200 goals to get to Gretzky. I don't know. Maybe he does, but that will be quite the task if he does.
He's got, what, 43 this year? 42?
42. 42.
He's still producing at a high rate. It's pretty amazing.
Could he get to be second overall when his career's over? I think Gordie Howe second. Yeah. I could. Yeah. I just don't see anybody ever getting to Gretzky. I don't think.
It's going to be tough.
I agree. It's going to be very, very tough. I know that. I also know that the coolest story going is what happened in Toronto. Can you imagine sports talk radio in Toronto today? Yikes. So, James Reimer is the starting goaltender for the Hurricanes in Toronto versus the Maple Leafs, and he is out in the first 3 minutes of the game. By the way, it was friendly fire. His own player. He's out. Enter Peter Mrazek. And then about midway through the second period, Peter Mrazek gets absolutely housed.
Trucked.
On a play. I mean, just run over. Enter a 42-year-old Zamboni driver for the Marlies. Ironically, the Predators struck a deal for a guy, Ben Harper, who plays for the Marlies. 6'6" defenseman. 42-year-old Zamboni driver. Maintenance guy. He goes out. He is the emergency backup goaltender for whoever needs an emergency backup goaltender. And he goes out there midway through the second period, gives up two goals, I think, on the first two shots, right?
Two of the first three.
Two of the first three shots on him, goals. All of a sudden, it's a one-goal game. Carolina's in control at 4-1. He gives up two goals right away, and it's like, rut-row. This could be one of those experiences that was cool at first and turns into an absolute nightmare. He shuts down Toronto the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They didn't get a goal in the entire third period. Carolina had two goals right out of the gates, and they skate away with the 6-3 victory. He actually gets the W. He wins. That's what I know. Really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That is a movie.
There's no doubt.
That's got to be a movie. That's a Disney movie.
I will tell you.
Disney Plus, get ready.
Guilty as charged. I was watching Miracle on Ice last night. I was. ESPN was showing it.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that movie many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I had to watch it again. I couldn't turn away.
It's one of those you flip through.
They did a good job. They did a good job on that movie. You know, just because you make a movie about a great sporting event doesn't mean it's a great movie. But that they really did a great job.
By the way,
don't you think?
We've just been talking about his son. There was a guy named Bob Suter on that team.
Sure was.
Ryan's dad.
Seen.
It's weird. He was wearing number 20.
How about that? It's like he got it from somewhere. Seen on the TV on Sportsnet that Zach Parise has waived the no-trade clause, but it's not done yet. So
plot thickens.
He has waived it. I don't know if it waived back, but he waived. Willie, what do you know? Or do I go?
This is what I know. Just a little sidebar action here. Has anybody checked the OVC race? All of a sudden, Belmont is back in a tie for first place.
Indeed.
They were three-way a couple tie. Games behind. A three-way tie. What a race for the OVC title.
I love it. It's going to be fun. OVC. OVC. OVC.
Chase, what do you know?
This is what I know. Vanderbilt prevented me from getting a perfect week in pick six at the buzzer. Please work on free throws. Got to make those. But what else I know is Ryan Newman released a statement yesterday through Roush Fenway Racing saying, quote, "I was fortunate to avoid any internal organ damage or broken bones. I did sustain a head injury for which I am currently being treated. The doctors have been pleased with my progression over the last few days. I have spoken with Jack Roush, and he has assured me that the number six car will be waiting and ready for my return. I'm looking forward to getting behind the wheel and battling for another race win in the Roush Fenway Ford." End quote. Very cool story. It was a week ago that Ryan Newman was in that crash. We all feared the worst. He walked out, both daughters hand in hand, and he says head injury, so you can, I guess, surmise what that could mean. But once he's clear, it looks like he'll be back behind the wheel.
I just thought of the one that I wanted to have, and I was buying time. This is what I know. If you bring a sign into an Astros game, and it says asterisk, you know, it's the sign. I saw the sign. It wasn't bad.
Can they take your sign? Do they have the right to take your sign? No, I know.
They did.
But do they have the right? What if those guys are like, no, you can't make me give you my sign?
There's probably something on the ticket.
Can they really throw them out?
There, I would imagine that there is a disclaimer on the back of the ticket.
I mean, if you have dirty language or a dirty picture, that's one thing. But can they really get rid of you? Can they take your sign that just says what you said?
It said something like Astros are, and it had an asterisk.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
The Barstool tweet, though, is hilarious. Astros are already stealing signs.
Stealing signs, yeah. So the irony was at the top of the – that's a 10 on the irony meter. But come on, people. Astros, think through this a little bit.
What did they think is going to happen this year? What did they think is really going to happen?
You're going to take every sign?
Right, so is this what you're going
to
do? You better hire more people.
Are we going to find out that the PR department, you know, a few weeks ago was like, hey, we're out. Y'all handle this. Like,
honestly, that lady, I mean, I would be like, look, you don't pay me enough to deal with this. That could have been an ugly scene. If those guys were been drinking all day, they're like, get out of here. We're not giving you our sign. What are you going to do? You can't do anything to us. We've paid. We have a sign. There's nothing bad on here. No foul language. Get out of here with that.
I just feel like
if I'm her, I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need to do this.
I honestly feel like the conversation has been how can we screw this up more? Like, because we're doing it. I know we're doing a great job, people. But let's
go ahead.
Let's take it to another level.
Take the sign.
If you have PR classes in college, like I would just show footage of the Astros,
what
like over and over and over again. And here's your learning lesson: do everything the opposite of what you see. All right, tell us what you know. Let's start with Nate. Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. It must feel like the world is collapsing around you when your AHL affiliate Zamboni driver beats you in net for the opposing team. And to put the cherry on top, this same guy has to go practice with Toronto the next day. You left that out, Darren. He practiced the next day.
You're right. He did. That's crazy. And by the way, they were like congratulating him. The Maple Leafs.
You kind of have to, but inside, I mean, it just had to be eating at him.
I don't know if you kind of. By the way, did you see the body language of the Leafs on the bench? Yikes! You think there's some bad body language going on there? All right. Thanks for the call. Thanks, Nate. He's right though. He did. He practiced.
Yep.
With the Leafs on Sunday. And they were like, hey, good job, David. Dave, good job. Thanks for beating us. 737-1025.
So
Mike, what do you know?
Hey, guys, so this is what I know. If you bring a box of Girl Scout cookies to a sports event, you can trade those box of cookies for a stick, a puck, or a football, apparently. Is there any cookie or dessert that you guys would trade these tickets for? And I'll get them to you.
I'm not following.
Okay. All right. Well, let me play again. So there's been multiple videos out there of recently a girl at an XFL game had a sign that said, we'll trade a box of
Thin Mints. Oh, yes. Okay.
And then also it's been multiple other times at hockey games where Fiala, I'll play rock, paper, scissors for a stick. Sponsored Girl Scout cookies. I believe it was Ryan Miller. Flipped a box of trefoils for a puck or something like that. So apparently that's how it goes. Sorry that pun didn't go through the way I wanted it to, but still, if there's a dessert out there, you know, I can run it down.
Wow, that's good. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I did see that now that he's brought. Yeah, that's kind of the new craze. Like, create a sign that says, you know, give me something and I'll give you some Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. I was having a conversation about Girl Scout cookies this weekend, and I can't remember who told me this, but somebody said that they're setting up Girl Scout cookie tables outside of dispensaries in states where that is legal, and that is a ingenious marketing ploy by the Girl Scout moms that are trying to sell cookies of selling them. Where,
you mean by the vending machines?
No, by dispensaries in states in which marijuana is legal. They're setting those up.
Oh, well, that is smart.
That's, yeah. Pretty smart move.
Get the munchies. Thin Mints. Tagalongs. Adam, what do you know?
Hey, man. Yeah, so I'm watching something that was released on pay-per-view this weekend. I've come to the conclusion, other than maybe Jesus, Mr. Rogers was the best man that's ever walked this earth. I watched the movie. It got me listening to a podcast on him. There's an HBO special out about him. He's the best man that's ever walked this earth. You got to, if you haven't watched enough about him, I mean, we've all watched it as a kid, go just watch 5 minutes of Mr. Rogers talk to a child as an adult. You'll want to cry, man. Like, I'm doing it all wrong. I'm not even meaning to, but I'm never going to be as good as Mr. Rogers. Like, he's really got me in my feelings today, man. Even at work, I'm just sitting here thinking, man, I got to talk to people better. I got to do so much better. Because Mr. Rogers was so good. You got to watch this, man. That movie, very emotional.
Are you wearing a sweater, at least?
No, I'm wearing a pull-up jacket, though, so it's close. I mean, that's good, man. I can't pull a sweater off. I'm not Mr. Rogers. That's the whole point. I got to get better.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
He's the man. I saw the documentary one, I think it's maybe last year it came out. Now there's the one with Tom Hanks. Is that out?
I have not seen that.
I haven't seen that one. I saw the documentary.
I did, too.
It definitely brings you back to your to your childhood.
I was all about some Mr. Rogers.
Dr. Detroit, DD, what do you know?
Something about
this
the Tigers.
No, 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 no. I hope it's good news, but no, I don't know anything about the Tigers. Your screen caller, this is what I know. I was going to say Louisville is a must-win against Florida State, but let me retort on that one. What the pit crew and crew chief did to Ryan Blaney after he could not win Daytona, called him in with two laps remaining when the tires that he still had on his car was beating everybody on the track. This is what I know. Ryan Blaney's new crew chief needs to take a hike. Good day.
Your thoughts, Chase.
Todd Gordon, who is a championship-winning crew chief, won it with Joey Logano. Did make that call at the end of the race. Alex Bowman for Hendrick, they did it too, and it cost him. It was a bad move.
One more. Doug, what do you know?
Well, this is what I know. I know Deontay Wilder went in the ring like the Black Panther the other night, but after Tyson Fury got a hold of him, the Gypsy King, he made him leave like the Pink Panther. At 1:39, they throw in the towel and made the dude celebrate by singing American Pie at the MGM Grand Hotel. That's what I know. He took a whooping.
He did.
Thank you, Doc.
He took a flat-out whooping. You can't come in there all talking trash like Black Panther and leave like the Pink Panther.
Doug, he was never in it. Maybe the first round, but he was never in it.
Immediately, I believe they checked his insurance card and said, look, throw in the towel. We can't afford these injuries.
Good stuff, as always, Doug. We'll get a winner. We'll come back and head east. We go to Knoxville next.